shout and sing his praises through the never-ending ages. Everybody will be happy over there.
Amen. Amen. Another American Airlines greeting. Those of you who were here this morning, you'll recall that my wife is a 40-year retired American Airlines employee. And I love it when, after they tell you how to buckle your seatbelt and put your seat back up and your tray table stowed, come on, somebody. A flight attendant will come out and say, "You could have flown any other airline. You chose to fly American, and we're glad you're here." I like that. I like for them to be glad I'm there. And I decided on Super Bowl Sunday night, even though the Texans ain't playing, and my team is not in the I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm in Houston, so I'm scared to tell you what my team is, but my team ought to have been in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Greatest catch in the world. Anyway. But on a Sunday night, on Super Bowl Sunday night, and you at the house of prayer. And I'm glad you're here. Is that all right? I'm glad you're here. I'm going to get to preach tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and I think Wednesday night. And I enjoy preaching in a series. And so we're going to camp out. We're going to be every night in Matthew chapter 13. I appreciate the brother who read. I wish I had a voice like his. Doesn't he have a great voice? And even though he was going to read chapter 17, he read those 17 verses in chapter 13 really, really well, and I appreciate that. We're going to be in chapter 13 each night, okay? So those of you who like to do some homework, read ahead, that'd be great. In fact, our theme for the next 4 nights will be the kingdom agenda. Everybody say it, the kingdom agenda. I believe that's important to talk about because all of us have our own agenda. Many did not have as part of their agenda to be here tonight. God made you a person with free will. You can do what you want to do. And he doesn't stop you. Now, that doesn't say he won't judge you for doing what you do, that there are not consequences, but you can do pretty much what you want to do. And so what I'm going to be sharing with you or preaching about is you need to understand the kingdom agenda. Now, this is to those of you who are in the kingdom. And so I'm gonna give you some groundwork tonight, hopefully to give you a reason for appreciating that you're in the kingdom and what it means to be in the kingdom. Is that all right? If you will look just briefly at chapter 13, and I'm going to give you several passages that suggest why this is important, but I want you to see something. In chapter 13, this is Matthew chapter 13, if you will look particularly at verse 3, this has already been read very, very well, but I just want to point out a couple of things to you. The Bible says, well, let me just start at verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Are you getting the picture? Then he spoke many things to them in what? Everybody say parables. If you got a Bible, you don't mind underlining something in. Underline the word parables. He spoke many things to them in parables. Now, look at verse 24. It says, another what? Parable he put forth to them saying. Look at verse 31. And the Bible says what? Another parable he put forth. Do you get the idea that a parable is important to how Jesus taught? The greatest teacher that ever lived had as his primary method of teaching parables. Now that suggests that if we're going to look at chapter 13, we're in pretty good company because Jesus told. In fact, if you read all of this, there are 8 parables in Matthew 13. 7 of them began with the kingdom of heaven is like. So if you are in the kingdom, how many of you are in the kingdom? Amen. That's pretty much all of you. You ought to want to know something about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Many of us have frustration when it comes to being in the kingdom because we have an erroneous view of what the kingdom is like. See, the kingdom is not perfect. And it's not perfect because we're in it. If the kingdom was perfect, if you found a perfect church and I went there, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. I wish I had somebody else who would tell the truth. Because we are imperfect. So Jesus wanted them to appreciate what the kingdom is like so they wouldn't be disappointed. All right? Go over to, and I'm going to give you several scriptures just to lay some groundwork as to why we ought to study this, and I'll let you go for tonight. All right? Hopefully we can get there by halftime. All right, now. Philippians 3, and the technical people are going to follow me with this. And let's look. All I want to establish tonight is why it's important that we spend time in Matthew chapter 13. Okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says, for our citizenship is where? In heaven. If I'm in the kingdom, if you're in the kingdom, how many of you are in the kingdom? Amen. This says, Paul said, our citizenship is where? Amen. In heaven. Amen. It was right that he told this to the church at Philippi because the church at Philippi was a Roman colony. That meant that even though they lived in Philippi, their citizenship was in Rome. Now, y'all, come on now. They lived in Philippi. But because Philippi was a Roman colony, they had to act like they lived in Rome. Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this, all right? Live in Philippi, but you bow to the same Caesar that they do in Rome. You got the same overseer that the folk who live in Rome have. You pay taxes to Rome. You bow to the Roman government. You heed what the Roman government says. Your citizenship, though you live in Philippi, your citizenship is where? In heaven. Michi? Praise the Lord, man. I'm sorry, y'all. This is a good friend of mine. I just saw him. Didn't know he was going to be here. Your citizenship is in heaven or is in Rome. Now, what does that say to us? If you're in the kingdom, even though you live in Houston, your citizenship is where? In heaven. That means you don't act like everybody acts in Houston. I wish I had a church. You don't act like a Houstonian when they ain't acting right. Because your citizenship is where? In heaven. That means I act like I live in heaven. I act like I bow to the God of heaven. Amen. See, heaven's government is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. God, Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So where's my citizenship? In heaven. So if you're in the church, your citizenship is where? That's why the song says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I've been bought with a price. I can't do anything I want to do. I can't live any way I want to live because my citizenship is in heaven. I can't do everything they do in Houston. I can't do everything they do in some other places. Down, I don't know how far Houston is from heaven. But what I do know, even though you live in Houston, my citizenship is in heaven. All right. Let me give you another Matthew chapter 6, and we're laying some foundation. Matthew chapter 6. The Bible has in that passage what we call the model prayer. Uh-huh. And the model prayer says, Our Father, uh-huh, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. Now, we stop saying that prayer because of that verse. Yeah, the kingdom is already here. Amen. Right, and that's right. But what does that look like when he says, that kingdom come? Can we take a few minutes to do this? Yes. That kingdom come. And then he says, thy will be done. Where? On earth. Don't run off. I'm going somewhere with you, all right? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, how is it? Does it look like his will is being done on earth? Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, what does it look like for the kingdom to come? And I was down on the floor earlier. I'm going to come back down here. I like being closer to you. Is that all right? All right. All right. Now, what does it look like for the kingdom to come? You have a kingdom. Mighty quiet in here. Wow. You have a kingdom. You are a threefold spiritual being. And this is germane, this is foundational to how I want to teach you. Okay, you got to see yourself like God sees you. I did it this way in the morning in class, and I do it everywhere I go because it's the crux, it's the foundation of what I want to teach. I need three men over here, three good-looking men. Okay, thank you, man. Okay, now, y'all being slow. If I said three women, they... Okay. Let's say this is the Godhead. Okay, I don't have a PowerPoint, so this is a visual for you. This is the Godhead, the Godhood. God is a triune God.
That's right.
Okay? Sometimes we refer to him as a Trinity. He is God the Father... Well, y'all lined up just right, too. This is God the Father. Come here, Father. Okay. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And the three make one. Okay? Three expressions, one God. Is that all right? I love the fact that Moses was not the only one that wrote about in the beginning. In the beginning, God is the idea of Elohim. He's a threefold being. Okay, he's not a one-dimensional being. So in the beginning, God, he's talking about the Godhead or the Godhood. That's important because when John writes about in the beginning, he does it this way. He says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Come. Okay. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. See, he didn't come into being when he was born of Mary. Amen, somebody. He has always existed. And he is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. He ain't a Holy Ghost. I mean, amen, somebody. That gives you to know he's Casper. He's not a it. You don't get it. He's God. Somebody say he's God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that all right? When you appreciate that, you go to verse 26, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Y'all just stay right here. This is the Godhead, all right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man. Yes. That makes sense now. The only reason that they use a plural pronoun is because God is a triune God. Yes. And to those of you who are looking at me funny, now you know, let me tell you something. How many of you are baptized? Amen. Every one of you that's baptized was baptized in the name. Don't act like you don't understand this. You were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's just that simple. But he's God. Now, let us make man. How are we going to make him? How are we going to make him? Let me have three other guys over here. Y'all knew I was coming, man. He said, let us make man. How are we going to make him? Let's make him in our image and after our likeness. That means if you three and man is made in your image and after a likeness of you, man is a copy of you. If you are three and man is made like you, then man is, amen, somebody. Man is three. That's very, very important. And this is going to be important the whole week as I'm teaching you. You got to see yourself like God sees you. Okay? Now, with man is spirit. Okay? Let me do it this way. Come here. I got to arrange y'all right, okay? Man is spirit, but he lives in a body. Amen. Get it right behind him. Amen. You come right here. Y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
This is my PowerPoint, okay? Okay. Man is spirit, lives in a body, and he has a soul. Now, the spirit is the real you. Come here, spirit. That's the real you. This is the seat of your intellect. This is where you think. This is where you reason.
Amen.
This is your soul. This is where you feel. This is the seat of your emotions. That's why you can think something in your spirit, and you'll feel it in your soul. This is your body. This is where your actions and deeds are. That's why in worship, I got to hurry with this because I want to see halftime too. This is your act. This is where you act out. This is where your actions and deeds are. In worship, I can think something in my spirit. In worship, I think about how good God is.
Wait a minute.
I think about how God has brought me a mighty long ways. Come on, church, has he been good to anybody? Now, don't try to fool me. Has he been good to anybody? Yeah. Has he gotten you out of trouble you didn't even know you were in? Has he gotten anybody up off of a sick bed? Has he brought a wayward child home?
Thank you, Lord.
Has he saved somebody's marriage? Now, I want you to go somewhere in your mind where you don't like to take folk. This is where you take off your halo. We've learned to look good on the outside, but we got stuff going on the inside. And I talk to people who know something about trouble. So if you perfect, you ain't going to get much out of my preaching. And if you are perfect, you just got perfect last Tuesday. You weren't always perfect. That's why when you come to worship, you can think about how good God is. And when you think about how, let them start singing one of them good songs. Yeah, you get to thinking about how God has been good to you. And while you are thinking about it, you feel something down in your soul.
Yes, sir.
Amen, amen. Let me hear. I love this, so I get to having fun. And wait a minute. That's why they call our food soul food. It's feel good food. Y'all didn't like that one, all right? That's why they call our music. Y'all see that? So I think about it in my spirit. And I feel it in my soul, and my body starts to do stuff. Yeah, it'll start to pat your foot. Come on, yeah, I saw you do it. Don't act like, see, we like to sit here in our nice little Church of Christ poses like don't nothing bother us. Every now and then, when God has been good to you, and when you think about how good God has been, and you start to feel it in your soul, every now and then you may have to clap your hands. I don't care what they say. Really, that's why the argument about whether I can stand up, whether I can do this or do that, is really an argument about nothing. God been too good. I wish I had a church. God been good to me. I know what it feels like to fall down and get up and fall down again. And were it not for the grace, amen. If it wasn't for God, I had a good friend. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Used to preach in Dallas. I used to love to hear him sing. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? Somebody tell me, where would I be? And that's all of us. So, Brother Crenshaw's kind of preaching this way, you just take your halos off. Amen. They crooked anyway. Just take them off. We'll send the men through with a tray to collect them, and you can get it back on your way out. Just say, this is where we ought to get real. Amen. You know, this is not about big eyes and little U's in here. All of us sick. The church is a hospital.
Yes.
Amen. Well, anyway, where was I? Amen. See, y'all got me off of what I was doing. Now, This is important. Come here, Spirit. This is where you think. This is where you reason. All right? That's where you make decisions. That's why I can't nobody tell you nothing. Come here, Spirit. It's in your spirit that you say, this is my house. This is my car. See, y'all don't like none of them. I bet you like this one. This is my money. And I don't care how much the preacher is preaching about money. You say, that's my money. That's because that's your kingdom. That's where you make decisions. That's where you decide. You decided what you were going to wear to church tonight.
Amen.
Okay. In Oklahoma, and I've shared this. I preach just like this at home. Sister come to church. The dress, you know, you got to be pulling down on it and stuff. You knew it was... You knew it was like that when you left the house. And then somebody say, some older sister will come to you and say, baby, that dress looks short. And you'll look at it and say, that's my dress. I can wear this dress. You can't take.
Well,
I ain't getting no help over here at all. It's my dress. I can wear this dress like I want to. That's because you are a free moral agent. You can do what you want to do.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Because that's your kingdom. Now, let me show you why this is important. Where's the Godhead? Is that you guys? Holy Spirit, the Spirit. Is that you? That's right. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do me a favor. Go up in the pulpit. I'll be through in a minute. Thy kingdom come. Kingdom means reign. It means rule. Okay? When my kingdom, the place where I make decisions, comes under the rule of the Holy Spirit. Let's do this. You go stand right in there. And you just put your hands out like that, like you over him. Not you. This is the human spirit. This is your spirit. That's where you say, I can do what I want to do. I can go where I want to go. It don't make no difference how hard the preacher preaches. I can do, because that's where I rule. And can't nobody tell me. It's my house. Amen. When the Holy Spirit of God rules over your spirit, then the kingdom has come in your life. See, that's why you can baptize somebody. Ooh, I know I'm going to get in trouble, but you can baptize somebody on Sunday morning and not see them Sunday night.
Yes.
Okay, y'all didn't like that one. Let me even know. You can baptize somebody on Sunday, and they back at the club on Monday. Okay, let me go over here. Okay. You can baptize somebody on Sunday, and they back over Mary's. I don't know nobody, okay? I know Howard Watson and his family. That's about all I know in here. Because you can do what you want to do. And if you went down in the water, unrepentant, if you went down in the water not understanding that you need to grow, it's because you're missing this. The rule of God in your life. Okay? Let me give you another one. I'm going to give you a couple of more and then I'm through. I'm sorry, man. You can. Man, thank you, boy. You all right, man. You all right. I got the right one to help me. So Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, even though I'm in the church, let me tell you something. I pray for him to rule over my life every time I pray. That's why sometimes some of our theology, we really need to kind of look at it again. I ain't trying to bother nobody, and I got a round trip ticket, and I got a ride to the airport. He right over there. So this is not to be popular, but this is to help somebody. Some of us have lived all of our lives in the church and do not experience any joy because we don't understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. Amen. Amen. Hurry up, Crenshaw. All right. Let me give you one more. Go to Luke 17. This blessed me. Most of us as preachers, we've had this debate with somebody in denominationalism. You telling them about the church, and they say, "Well, the church don't make any difference because the church in you."
Yeah.
You ever heard that? And we really haven't dealt with that very well. Can I help somebody? I mean, Pharisees asked Jesus that question. Luke 17, 20, I believe. Luke 17, 20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, okay? You've been praying for it to come. Our citizenship is in heaven. When is it going to come? Okay? Y'all coming to get me? Now, and he just left you, didn't he? Listen to this. Read this with me. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "Now the kingdom of God does not come with observation." Amen. In fact, the next verse says, "You won't be able to say it's over here or it's over there." He said, "For indeed, the kingdom of God is in you." Well, what does that look like? That looks like when your spirit, where you decide, where you make decisions, comes under the rule of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom has come in your life and the church is in you. That's why we need to think about what we're saying when we talk about I'm going to church.
Amen.
It's better if we stop going to church and become the church.
Amen.
You the church.
Amen.
Church is in you.
Amen.
Y'all have a beautiful edifice. And people say, "Man, y'all got a beautiful church." This ain't the church.
Amen.
And you trying to convert somebody, and you're a member of Fifth Ward, and the person you converted say, well, that's not the only church down there. That ain't the only church. You're not talking about a building. Jesus did not die for buildings.
Amen.
Died to save our souls. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, so let me close like this. Philippians 3:20, we are citizens of the kingdom.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, thy kingdom come.
Amen.
Luke 17:20, the kingdom is in me. It's in you.
Uh-huh.
You the kingdom. And I won't get to this until probably Wednesday night, but then Matthew, or rather 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and at verse 24, and they'll get it on the screen for me as quickly as they can. 1 Corinthians 15, but if you got a Bible, you go to it. 1 Corinthians 15, and at verse 24, he says this. Then comes the end. See how it all comes together? Where's the kingdom? It's in me. Is that right?
Yes.
How is it in me? It's in me when my spirit comes under the rule of the Holy Spirit. I need to pray for it to happen to me daily.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want his will to be done in my life.
Yes.
Every day I live.
Amen.
Then comes the end. When he delivers. Come on, church. When he delivers
the kingdom
to God the Father. One day we will be delivered.
Amen.
Because we're the kingdom.
Amen.
The kingdom resides in us. One day, we will be delivered to the Father.
Amen.
Now, I said all of that to help us appreciate the importance of being in the kingdom.
Amen.
Thank y'all, brother. Let's give them a love deposit. Okay? Thank you. Let me close like this. Kingdom is in me. My citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
Then comes the end when we're going to be delivered up to the Father.
Amen.
But while I'm living, I might ought to want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like.
Amen.
I want to have that experience while I live. Amen. See, that's what worship is about. I'll probably get to that Wednesday night. I love that. What's spiritual worship look like? How do people that are in the kingdom worship God? Okay? So that's where we're going. So the best place to go to appreciate what the kingdom is like, I think, a good place to go to is in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus gives 7 parables all about the kingdom. 8 parables, actually. 7 start with the kingdom of heaven is like. All right? That's the lesson. That's the lesson. Monday night, we're going to lay the foundation with the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils. That's what the kingdom is like. If you don't get that one, in fact, it's the only one of the 8 parables that does not start with the kingdom of heaven is like. And the reason is, it's the parable that if you don't understand it, you don't get the rest of them. Okay? It's the foundational parable. So Monday night, if you know you're not going to be here, you need to make sure they record it. Or you need to ask somebody. Okay? Because if I'm in the kingdom, I want to really understand the parable of the soils. It's called the parable of the sower, but it's really the parable of the soils. It really asks the question, what kind of soil are you?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
See, there's nothing wrong with the sower and nothing wrong with the seed. What kind of soil are you? And the rest of the week, I'm going to help you identify what kind of soil you are. In fact, elders, it'd be a good idea, give them a test. Because he's going to identify 4 kinds of soil. And you determine which kind of soil are you. Is that all right? Then we're going to look at the parable of the wheat and the tares. See, those of us who think the church ought to be perfect, everybody in the church ought to be right, you have not read the parable of the wheat and the tares. Because in the kingdom, everybody ain't right.
Amen.
Amen. Then we're going to talk about the parable of the leaven. That's the parable that talks about the fact that we ought to be influencing the world. But reality is that it seems as though the world is influencing us. Amen. And that's probably the last one I'll get to, you know, just because I preach a long time. But, you know, amen. I thank y'all for not saying amen. But I hope this is going to be helpful to us. I'm excited about it. I hope you'll come, identify what kind of soil you are. And then somebody ought, if you are a soil that's non-productive, we can talk about how you can change the soil you're in. Because all of us want to be fruitful. Amen. John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman or vine dresser. Every plant in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So be unfruitful if you want to. He says he takes away. In fact, later on in that chapter, it says he binds those unfruitful branches, ties them up, and casts them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay, so we're going to talk about how you can be fruitful. Amen. But you first got to realize what kind of soil you're in. And if you're in the wrong soil, it's not productive, you got to figure out how to change soil. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. And all of that is going to be right out of Scripture, dealing with what the kingdom of heaven Amen. Is like. God bless you. I'll let you go home. If you, does this help anybody?
Amen.
If you are here tonight and any of this touched you, and you don't want to go home unrepentant. If you need the church to pray for you tonight, this is prayer time. Is that all right? I'm going to turn you over to the elders or those who lead the congregation. But if you're here tonight while heaven waits and while mercy pleads, you ought to come on to Jesus. Amen. You ought to be in the kingdom.
Amen.
And you can't be in the kingdom doing anything you want to do.
Amen.
Some people will tell you all you got to do to be in the kingdom is say the sinner's prayer.
Uh-huh.
Amen. I hope I'm all right with y'all. Because there are too many good and honest people who have been led astray by things that are being preached
Amen.
That don't have the integrity that it ought to have.
Amen.
All right? They that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved needs to be explained to you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you challenge me, I'll do it tonight. I ain't got no team in the Super Bowl. But what do you need to do? Come to him by faith. As a repentant believer,
Amen.
Confess him to be the Christ, and then be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins.
Amen.
Jesus meets you in that watery grave. You access his grace and mercy.
Amen.
Let me say this, and I know we got to go. Where does song lead? Right here? Come on, song leader. Come on, up, go up there like you're getting ready to sing. And act like you're getting ready to sing, but don't start yet. We need to really appreciate what some of this is really about. And some of the things I'm going to do and say are probably going to make you uncomfortable. But you don't grow in your comfort zone. Amen. Comfort zone is an enemy of growth. Even the Fifth Ward Church, you are a good church. But God may be calling you to be an even greater church. And brother, I appreciate being here because we need some great churches in our brotherhood. And being good can be an enemy of being great.
Amen.
You can get satisfied with being good
right.
when God is calling you to be great.
Amen.
Amen. So that's some of what we'll talk about. I appreciate the the opportunity to teach. Good preaching is really good teaching. And so I'm going to be asking you every night these kinds of questions. I pray that you make a decision to obey the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. If you're here and you just need us to pray with you, we'll do that.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
And so if you are subject to this invitation, we bid you to come. I have a whole lot more I want to do, but we're gonna get to the halftime. And the good thing about preaching in a series is I get to preach tomorrow. And we're going to start right there. It's kind of like what they do with Scandal. They don't give it all to you at one time.
Right.
Some of y'all wear it now about, what that girl's name? I knew y'all knew who she was. They don't give it to you. That way you keep coming back. I just gave you something. I gave you some foundation. And we'll get into the parable of the soils on tomorrow night. Tuesday night, the parable of the wheat and tare. And Wednesday night, the parable of the leaven. And you come. We'll study it together. And we believe God will bless it. Is that all right? If you're subject to the invitation, come on right now while we stand together and while we sing.
Oh, do not let the world depart and close thine eyes against the light.